Hey.
Hey.
We're going to be on page 163. Thanks for coming. Everyone who ever tried to use prayer to ask for something has experienced what appears to be failure. Everyone who has ever tried to use prayer to ask for something has experienced what appears to be failure. Mm-hmm. Experiencing what appears to be failure is not only true in connection with specific things that might be harmful, but also it looks like we experience failure in connection with requests that are strictly in line with this course. Seem like we don't even get what we ask for in line with this course in particular might be incorrectly interpreted as proof that the course doesn't mean what it says. You must remember, however, that the course states repeatedly that its purpose is the escape from fear. So let's suppose then that what you ask of the Holy Spirit is what you really want, but you're still afraid of what you're asking for. Okay. If you're afraid of what you're asking for, should this be the case, the attainment of what you're asking for would no longer be what you want. This is why certain specific forms of healing are not achieved. This is why certain specific forms of healing are not achieved, even when the state of healing is. An individual may ask for physical healing because he's fearful of bodily harm, and at the same time, if the individual were healed physically, the threat to his thought system might be considerably more fearful to him than his physical expression.
Yeah.
In this case, the threat to your thought system becomes more frightening to you than the physical thing you're going through. If this is the case, you're not really asking for release from fear, but you're asking for the removal of a symptom that you yourself selected,
mm-hmm.
and asking for a removal of a symptom that you've selected, therefore, is not a request for healing at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so everybody that's ever tried to use prayer to ask for something looks like they didn't get what they asked for.
Mm-hmm.
It sometimes looks like you don't get what you ask for when you ask for things in this world that you like to have. But it also looks like you don't get the peace that the Course is talking about and the abundance and the happiness that the Course is talking about either. Mm-hmm. And because it looks like we don't get the things we ask for in the world and also don't necessarily get the things, the spiritual stuff we're asking for, we may take that to mean that this stuff really doesn't mean what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not getting what I'm asking for in the world and I'm also not getting what I'm asking for from God.
Mm-hmm.
So this Course is a bunch of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, then he says, then he goes on to tell us, he says, but this is the key phrase, you must remember, you must remember, you must remember, however, that the Course states, and repeatedly, that the purpose of the Course is to escape from fear. So the purpose of the Course is to escape from anything that's making me afraid. The purpose of the Course is more than anything else to get us out of fear. The purpose of the Course more than anything else is to get us out of fear. The purpose of the Course more than anything else is to get us out of fear. The purpose of the Course, the purpose for doing the Course more than anything else is you want to let go of your fear and concern. The main reason for doing the Course is because we want to let go of our fear and concern. So if you ask spirit for something that you are afraid to have, then you're not really wanting what you're asking for. So anything that you ask for that you're not feeling complete peace about asking for, then it's not really what you want. And then he says, that's why we don't get the healing. Because we ask for things that we're afraid of.
Afraid of.
And we forget that the purpose of the Course is to make sure that we don't increase our fear.
Wow.
So to ask for something that you're afraid of would mean you don't really want it, because nobody really wants something that they're afraid of. So if I say I want a relationship and I know I'm full of stuff about relationships, I'm really asking for what I'm afraid of. If I'm asking for money and yet I'm already, obviously my fear is keeping it so that my abundance is not obvious to me, then I'm asking for what I'm afraid of. So the course says that we might ask for physical healing because we're afraid of something that's wrong with my body, so I'm going to ask for God to heal it. There's something wrong in my life, I'm going to ask for God to heal it. Mm-hmm. And he says that, well, the reason why people that we know and sometimes we're not healed physically is that if you ask for healing and it has to happen instantaneously, the threat to your way of thinking would be more frightening to you than to get the thing that you asked for.
Oh.
What does that mean? That means that if my arm was broken and it was hanging off my body,
yes,
and I said I'd like to have my arm healed, and it immediately went back into the socket and healed in that instant and looked perfectly normal,
yes,
that would be more frightening to me than having my arm hanging off my body. The Course is saying that to have things the way we want it is more threatening to our way of thinking than having the thing that we want. And we'd rather not have the thing that we want if it means we got to change our mind. Because the threat to our thought system is more important to us. He says keeping the way that we think is more important to us than having the healing that we're asking for.
Well, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Isn't it? Yeah. So he says we're asking to have our situations and conditions healed, but we're not asking to have the fear removed.
Hmm.
We're asking to have the symptom of our fear removed.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not asking to have, I want the cancer removed, but I'm not asking to get the fear removed that caused the cancer. I want my money problem removed, but I'm not asking to get rid of the fear that caused my money problem. I want my relationship problem removed, but I'm not really willing to ask for the release from the fear that's causing the problem. Okay. So he says, I'm asking for the removal of a symptom that I've selected tonight to be my latest symptom that I'd like the Holy Spirit to fix. So I come here with lots of symptoms, lots of stuff that I'd like to have corrected. And so I'm here. And so tonight I've selected a symptom. Let me see. What's the one that I'm going to select tonight? Well, I'm not really satisfied with my job.
Okay.
That's my latest symptom, you know. And I'm going to come here and I'm going to ask God to remove that symptom. And he says, sorry, you're not asking for healing until you're asking for release from fear.
Mm-hmm.
It says the Bible emphasizes that all prayer is answered, and this is indeed true.
Uh-huh.
The very fact that the Holy Spirit has been asked for anything will ensure a response.
Uh-huh.
Yet it's equally certain that no response given by God would ever be a response that would increase your fear. So anytime you have a response or an answer and you feel more afraid, you did not get the answer from God.
Uh-huh.
It's possible that you won't hear the answer. It's possible that God's answer won't be heard, but it's impossible, however, that you can lose God's answer, which means there are many answers you've already received but you haven't heard yet, like right now.
Mm-hmm.
I assure you that the answers are waiting for you. So all the answers to all your problems are waiting for you, and they'll be there for you when you're ready to hear it. The answer is waiting for you. Okay. If you want to know this, now this is a trick paragraph here. It says if you want to know your prayers are answered, never doubt a son of God. Don't question him, don't confound him, for your faith in another person is your faith in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would know God, and if you want to know God's answer, you have to believe in me, whose faith in you cannot be shaken. Can you ask of God, the Holy Spirit, truly, and doubt your brother? Believe your brother's words are true because of the truth that is in your brother. And you will unite with the truth in your brother, and your brother's words will be true. So as you hear another person, you will hear me. Listening to the truth is the only way you can hear it.
Wow.
Now and finally know it.
Wow.
So the message that another person gives you is up to you. The message that another person gives you is up to you. The communication that another person gives you is up to you. What another person says to you is up to you. The message your brother gives you is up to you. So what does another person say to you? What does your brother say to you? Well, what do you want him to say? Your decision about another person determines the message that you receive from them. Your decision about the other person is the thing that determines the message you receive. Your decision, what does that mean? Well, that means that you have to remember that the Holy Spirit or God or Spirit is in that other person, and that God's voice will speak to you through that other person. So all you have to do is remember that the answer is in the other person. God is in the other person. The Holy Spirit is in the other person. And the Holy Spirit's voice speaks to you through the other person. So what can so holy, which is innocent, a person tell you except the truth? But are you listening to it? The other person that you're talking to might not know who he or she is. The other person that you're talking to might not know that they're a child of God. They might not know the truth. But there's a truth in their mind that does know. That's what the light means. The other, there's a truth in their mind that does know the truth. The other person might not know who they are, but there's a truth in their mind that does know. That light of truth can shine into your mind, giving truth to their words, making you able to hear them. Whatever that person says, their words are God's answer, the Holy Spirit's answer to you. Is your faith in the other person strong enough to let you hear God's answer? Is your faith in me strong enough to let you hear this through me? Is your faith in me strong enough to let you hear this through me? See, what you had an experience with me that is exactly what it's talking about right this very moment.
Yes.
Exactly. The message I give you is up to you.
Uh-huh.
What am I saying to you? Well, what do you want me to say to you? Well, your decision about me is determining what I'm saying to you. So that's why I'm saying the truth to you right now, because that's what you made the decision that you wanted to hear through me.
Mm-hmm.
A few people, anyway. And,
because you're hot.
I know, thank you. But see, that's what determines what you receive from me. You're talking about the hot, I'm about to get some hotness, brother. The ramifications of what I just heard was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
He just said to us that what people say to us and what we see people saying to us and how people communicate to us is based on the decision that we make about them. And that they're giving us the message that we have made a decision that they're going to give us.
Wow.
And then he turned around and said, the God is in the other person. God's voice can speak to you through that person. And what could so holy a person tell you except the truth? But are you listening to it? It's like right now, I'm using the course, right? And I'm telling you the truth. But are you listening to it?
Right.
Okay. And then he goes on to say, I may not know who I am. I may not know I'm the Holy Son of God. I might not know I'm this unlimited being. I might not know I'm complete love. He says, but there is a light of the truth in me that does know. I might not know that this is true, but there is a part of me that knows that this is true. I might not know that this is true, but there's a part of me that knows that this is true. And so that truth can shine into your mind. The truth in me can shine into the truth in you, right? And that will give truth to my words, making you able to hear them. So what's making you able to hear what I say right now is that the truth in you is connecting up with the truth in me. And because the truth in you is connecting up with the truth in me, we both can hear what I'm talking about right now. Because I guarantee you there's some people that could walk in here and they would not hear anything I'm saying right now. They couldn't even hear it. It would sound like I was talking a foreign language to them. And so the Course says, now, my words are God's answer to you. Everything that I'm saying to you, okay, now what did I say? Well, what did I, I'm talking about to me too. Well, first of all, I was told that the reason why I experience failure sometimes when I ask for something is because I'm not asking for the release from fear. I'm asking for release from whatever the latest thing is I've come up with that I think needs to be fixed in order for me to be happy. I don't go to God and ask for the real release. I don't go to the universe and ask for the real relief. I go to the universe and ask God to handle some particular symptom that I've come up with.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
He says, now, every time I ask for something that I'm afraid of, every time I ask for something that I don't feel peace about, then I'm asking for what I don't want. And Holy Spirit would never give me what makes me afraid. So if I'm asking for what I don't feel like I deserve, then it would only make me feel afraid. And so therefore, it looks like I haven't received it. And so the reason why my prayers look like they haven't been answered is because I haven't been asking for the answer to the prayer, which is for me to ask to have my fear released. Now, here's the other part. Do you have enough faith in me to hear me say this? Do you have enough faith to hear me say that if you want to have your prayers answered, don't doubt me, don't question me, and don't confound me?
Wow.
Because your faith in me is your faith in yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't trust me, you don't trust yourself. If you don't believe in me, you don't believe in yourself. So if you don't want to, if you want to have your prayers answered,
mm-hmm.
realize that you should not question me, confound me, or doubt me. I should not question you, confound you, or doubt you. And your, my faith in you all is my faith in myself, and y'all's faith in me is your faith in yourself. So, if you want to know God's answer, you have to believe in me, because my faith in you can't be shaken. So you want to believe in somebody who completely believes in you. I completely believe in you, so you need to completely believe in me. I completely believe in you, so you need to completely believe in me. He says that is how you will know God's answer, because if you believe in me, then you'll hear the truth that I'm saying, and it'll free you from your fear, and we would have a direct experience of the truth together right now.
Woo!
Every time I go to another level of consciousness, my class shifts. It's so funny to watch it. And I'm always curious to see who's in the new probable reality that I moved into.
Yeah.
It's such a trip. And so the message that a person gives you is up to you. What does a person say to you? What do you want them to say? Your decision about them determines the message you receive. Remember that the Holy Spirit, or the answer, is in the other person, and God's voice speaks to you through the other person. So what could I tell you except the truth? But are you listening to it? I don't have to know who I am. I may not know who I am, but there's a truth in my mind that does know. So this truth in my mind can shine into your mind, and that will give truth to what I'm saying to you and make you able to hear it. What I'm saying to you right now is God's answer to you, but is your faith in me strong enough to let you hear it? You can no more pray, I love this, it says, you can no more pray for yourself alone than you can find joy for yourself alone. You can no more pray for yourself alone than you can find joy for yourself alone. Prayer is the restatement of inclusion, directed by the Holy Spirit under the laws of God. Salvation, which is healing, is of each other. The Holy Spirit, which is God, extends from my mind to your mind and answers you. So God extends from your mind to my mind and answers you, and God extends from my mind to your mind and answers me. So everybody's looking for the answer, but we don't realize that the answer is going to come through each other, and the answer won't come through each other until we start believing in each other. And at the point we really believe in each other, then we can hear the answer that we are receiving from God to all the things that cause us pain. And the truth is, the only thing that's causing us pain is that we are afraid.
That's it. Wow.
So we ask to get rid of the symptom of the fear instead of asking to be released from the fear itself. You cannot hear the voice for God in yourself alone. So if you only hear, you can't just hear God in your own self. He said, because you're not alone. If I'm not alone, I can't hear the answer in myself only, because I'm not alone. And God's answer is only for what I am. You will not know the trust I have in you unless you extend it. You will not trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit or believe that the guidance of the Holy Spirit is for you unless you hear the guidance of the Holy Spirit in others. That it must be for your brother because it's for you. Why would God give you an answer and wouldn't give me an answer? Why would God give you love and not give me love? Why would God give you the answer and not give me the answer? Why would God give you happiness and not give me happiness? So there's no way I can have it alone. And so I won't hear it unless I hear it in me and you. It must be for you and me because it's for you. In other words, would God have created a voice for you alone? Would God have only created guidance for me? Only. Earl is the only one in the world that gets any answers from God. I'm it. He says, could you hear God's answer except that you God answers all God's sons? So hear of your brother what you would have me hear of you, for you wouldn't want me to be deceived. So this is where you have a holy relationship with somebody. Let's pretend that we're in a relationship with each other and you're upset about something or you're afraid about something. You're ready to have the healing now. You're ready to have the release from here, from your fear. This is the way it works. I love you for the truth in you as God does. Your deceptions may deceive you, but they can't deceive me. Knowing what you are, I can't doubt you. I hear only the Holy Spirit in you who speaks to me through you. If you want to hear me, you got to hear my brothers in whom God's voice speaks. The answer to all prayers lies in each other. You will be answered as you hear the answer in everyone. Don't listen to anything else or you won't hear truly. So if you're really hearing the answer, you will hear the answer everywhere.
That's trippy.
The Course in Miracles is totally trippy.
It's so simple.
It's so simple, it's so radical, and we have a million defenses against actually hearing it. It's incredible. That's why I'm going through it the way I am. But yeah. But I also want to understand that it's not talking about something abstract. That's why we fool ourselves. Every single thing that we read tonight, it applies to us right now.
Yeah.
It's not abstract at all.
Mm-hmm.
I won't hear the answer until I start believing that y'all got something in y'all other than something that's going to hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he's saying. You know, God is not going to give me an answer by myself and not give you all an answer. Every time I try to ask God to solve some meaningless crap that I've been dealing with over and over again since the day I was born in another form, he says, I'm not asking for healing. I'm just asking for God to remove a symptom that I created, doggone it again. That's not the same as asking for healing.
Then you cannot remove something that does not exist.
And it doesn't exist anyway, but I won't know it doesn't exist until I start having faith in you, and then we start hearing the truth being said to each other, because it's only when we hear the truth in each other that we're going to recognize the truth. Because there is no disembodied voice that's talking to us. Because I'm not disembodied. You're hearing me because it's coming through my body. So as long as I keep listening for God's answer to come out of the ethers, instead of realizing that I need to have enough faith in you all and know that there's some truth in y'all just like it is in me, and I want to join that truth in you and believe in that truth in you, then I'll never know what I'm talking about and what I'm studying about. And he says, I won't trust God's guidance until I start hearing it everywhere. That's one of the things I love when people come to me and get a session done. I do it just like it's a research project, and I break out all kinds of my astrology books, and I have a course book, and so we'll look and we'll see that no matter what angle I look at it, what is the message that's coming through no matter what. And usually there's always a theme for that person, regardless of whether I look at my astrology, whether I look at numerology, whether I look at the Course in Miracles. We'll always see that there's a theme where there's something that's being said over and over and over. So much so that at the end of the session, I can ask the person, what did you hear? And they'll say exactly what the message is that they got, because it kept coming at them so many ways they could no longer ignore. And in most cases, it confirmed what they were already feeling in the inside and wasn't trusting themselves enough to move on. That's what he's saying. The answer's going to come through each other. He says, believe in your brothers because I believe in you, and you will learn that my belief in you is justified. Believe in me by believing in them for the sake of what God gave them. They will answer you if you learn to ask on the truth of them. Do not ask for blessings without blessing them. Don't ask for blessings without blessing them. Don't ask for blessings without blessing them, because it's only in blessing them that you can learn how blessed you are. So I don't know how blessed I am because I'm not blessing you. I don't know how blessed I am right now because I'm not blessing you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just asking for the removal of a symptom that I've made up.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here tonight. I didn't come here to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Me either. Right. We came here to get symptoms removed.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, that's not a sin because there's no such thing as sin. But if you want to have your prayers answered, don't ask for blessings without blessing them, because that's the only way you can learn how blessed you are.
Mm-hmm.
By following this way, you're seeking the truth in you.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going beyond yourself, but toward yourself. We're not going beyond ourselves, we're going toward ourselves. And he says, this is not going beyond yourself, but toward yourself. Hear only God's answer in God's sons, and you are answered. To disbelieve is to side against, or to attack. To believe is to accept and to side with. So, if I say I disbelieve the Course, I'm really saying I'm siding against it. If I say I disbelieve you, I'm saying I'm siding against what you're saying. So to disbelieve just means, it don't just mean I don't believe you. It means I'm siding against you. I'm siding against what you've said. Then on the other hand, to believe is to say I'm accepting it. If I accept it, it means I'm siding with it. So either I'm siding with this, or I am siding against this. As we listen to this, we're either siding against what we're hearing, or we're siding with what we're hearing. So it would be better to say, I believe you. So he says, believe in your brother, right? Then he's really talking about siding with your brother. See, I'm going to believe your brother. I think my mind goes to try to believe them whether or not what they're saying is true about what they said they did last night. or believe your brother means to believe that what you told me you did this morning was what you really did. See, my idea of belief is totally different from this idea of belief. When the Course says to believe in you is to believe in myself, and saying to side with you is to side with myself, because you are myself. So when I side with you, I am siding with myself, and when I side with myself, I can receive God's love, I can receive the blessing, I can receive the answer. So I'm siding with you.
Yeah.
When I come here, I come here to side with your happiness, side with your peace. It's not about credibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's about whether or not I'm going to side with love, or I'm going to side with fear.
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to side with what they're saying, or am I going to continue to side with the fact that what's wrong with me is a virus?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to side with the fact that I'm not a body, I'm free, or am I going to side with the fact that I'm a body and I'm guilty?
Mm-hmm.
It's about siding, which I think is interesting, because as a kid we used to say stuff like that. Whose side are you on?
Right.
Are you going to be on my side?
Mm-hmm.
I remember saying that as a child, often.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Then it goes on to say, to believe is to side, to disbelieve is to side against or to attack.
Mm-hmm.
To believe is to accept and to side with. To believe is not to be credulous. So when I say I believe you, I'm not saying that you're credible. What I'm saying when I say I believe you is that I accept you and appreciate you. I accept you, I appreciate you, I side with you. I accept you, I appreciate you, I side with you. I accept you, I appreciate you, I side with you. I accept you, I appreciate you, I side with you. I accept you, I appreciate you, I side with you. I accept you, I appreciate you, I side with you. I accept you, I appreciate you, I side with you. I accept you, I appreciate you, I side with you. With you. I accept you, I appreciate you, I side with you. I accept with your happiness, I accept your happiness, I accept that you deserve love, and I side with the idea that you deserve love. I accept you, I appreciate you, I side with you. What you do not believe, you do not appreciate. What you do not believe, you do not appreciate what you do not believe. So if I'm teaching a class that people don't believe, they don't appreciate it. When I'm teaching a class that people don't believe, when I'm teaching a material that people don't believe, they don't appreciate it. Whatever somebody does not appreciate, they do not believe.
Wow. Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. If you appreciate it, you believe it. If you appreciate it, you side with it.
Sure.
Yeah. And when I say stuff like that, it's not coming from any kind of a space of separation or upset. It just makes perfect sense to me. Yeah, that if I appreciate it, I believe it.
Yeah.
And if I don't appreciate it, I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not siding with it.
Right.
So some people hear you saying stuff and they just don't side with what you say. I might say stuff in here and people don't side with their interpretation, which would be a better way of putting it. They don't side with their interpretation of what I see. But what I love about this is that the blessing is going to come to me. All I have to do to have that blessing is to bless you. So it really doesn't have anything to do with what you do, and it doesn't have anything to do with what I do as far as you receiving your blessing. It didn't say you had to bless me back. It just said I needed to bless you. And all I have to do is side with you releasing your fear. So that takes all the pressure off the people around me to have to always appreciate me. Because their non-appreciation or appreciation isn't stopping my blessing as long as I'm willing to bless them and to side with them and appreciate them and want them to have peace. Then it goes on to say, what you do not believe, you do not appreciate, right? Then it says you can't be grateful for what you don't value. So where I'm grateful is what I value. Where I don't feel grateful is what I don't value. So whatever I don't feel grateful for, that is what I don't value. Whatever I don't feel grateful for in my life, that's what I do not value. What I do not feel grateful for in my life is what I do not value. Now, he says, there's a price you will pay for judgment.
Uh-oh.
Now, as soon as I heard that, it triggered me back into my old beliefs about, ooh, right? And he's saying, there's a price you will pay for judgment, because judgment is the setting of a price.
Yes, it is.
And as you set the price, you pay the price. As you set the price, you pay the price. If I say if I judge you for what you do, then I automatically set the price for what's going to happen if I do it.
Uh-huh.
Because judgment is the setting of the price.
Hmm.
So the Course says, if paying is equated with getting,
uh-huh,
which is what we do,
yeah,
I'm paying some money, I'm going to get this car, I'm paying some money, I'm going to get these clothes, I'm paying some money, I'm going to get that. If I pay, I'm going to get. If I pay, I'm going to get. I'm going to get if I pay. I'm going to get if I pay. He said, if paying is equating with getting, you will set the price low. But demand a high return. I want to go into the car dealer and get a 2008 Cadillac for $250. And if I come out and I get that car for $250, I've gotten over as far as I'm concerned. Because I associate paying with getting, so I'm going to set the price low, but I'm going to try to get the most I can get by giving the least I can.
Yeah.
I want to get the most love I can get from people by giving the least I can. I want to get, I want to really, really, really receive the best that life has to give, but I want to, but if I can get it by just doing, giving a little, I'm going to set the price low, but I'm going to demand a high return if I associate paying with giving. He says, but you will have forgotten when you do that, however, that to price is to value. So that your return is in proportion to your judgment of worth. So you'll only get as much out of this as you believe it's valuable. You will only receive as much out of anything as you believe it's valuable. People get as much out of this, for example, as they believe it's valuable. So, if your return is in proportion to your judgment of worth, if paying is associated with giving, it cannot be perceived as loss. If every time I pay, I see it as giving, then I know that I'm not going to lose because giving is how you receive. So if I looked at paying as giving, then I would never feel resentment or a sense of loss when I pay for anything. If I looked at paying my rent as giving instead of paying, then I would not perceive giving the money for my rent as a loss. And since I don't see it as a loss because I'm seeing it as giving, this is the good part. And the because it's rent. Oh yeah. Remind me to show you the good part. I'm going to show it, but if you miss it now, will you promise me that you'll say, remind me of the good part? Okay, here it goes. If paying is associated with giving, paying cannot be perceived as a loss. And the reciprocal relationship of giving and receiving will be recognized. Which simply means if I don't see it as paying and I see it as giving, then whatever I give, I know it's going to come back. I know I'm going to receive. I know I'm going to have it back. So every time I see paying as giving, then I'm setting it up where I'm going to receive. But every time I see paying as losing, then every time I pay my rent, I'm not mentally opening myself up to receive that back and more. So really, your overhead at the level of the body, your overhead is simply what you're giving every month, not what you're paying every month. And if you saw it as giving, then you would kick in the law of giving and receiving, and then you would recognize all of your wealth, all of your abundance, all of your receiving. Because you're giving it anyway, so why see it as paying and start seeing it as giving? So you can experience the reciprocal relationship of the law of giving and receiving. And you will appreciate it more and you will value it more if you're giving.
Wow.
And it'll be a hell of a lot less resentment.
Yeah. Awesome.
You're doing it anyway. You're doing it anyway. You do it every time you go to the gas station, to the store, anytime you do something for somebody. He says, never see it anymore as paying. I used to write on my checks all the time, paying is giving, paying is giving, paying is giving. So I could kick in the law of giving and receiving, because if I looked at paying as losing, oh, I gave that money to pay my rent, now I'm broke. How many times you hear people say that? I paid my car note, now I'm broke. See, they saw it as losing, and we know that what we side with is what we perceive and what we experience. So if you side with the idea that every time you give, you're losing, what kind of reality do you think you're going to perceive?
Wow.
But if you were to go, oh my God, I gave more than ever last month. I gave my booty off last month.
I'm so generous,
I gave more than I had. That would kick in the law of giving and receiving. This book is full of the answers, but they're not what we made up, and so people tend not to value and overlook it because it's not the way they've made it up to be. Because the course is always easier than we come up with.
And it's so straight.
And it's so straight up. It's so simple. Let's go through that again. It doesn't mess around. It's just straight up. Here you go. If paying is equated with getting, you would set the price lower than being a high return.
Mm-hmm.
You would have forgotten, however, that to price is to value, which means, whenever you see a comma, you could just go, which means your return is in proportion to your judgment of worth. What does that mean? It means that if paying is associated with giving, paying can be perceived as loss, and so the reciprocal relationship of giving and receiving will be recognized. What the heck does that mean? It means that you're going to set the price high because of the value of the return. See, I'm not asking for enough because of my own lack of consciousness. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not asking for more in my own ministry, in my own life, in my own experience. That's me.
Wow.
He says, if it's valuable, the price will be set high because of the value of the return. Would I really sell the family heirloom for $10.99? Of course I wouldn't, because I think it's valuable. I'm going to set the price high. And if I thought I was valuable, I'd set the price high for who I would allow myself to go in relationship with. I wouldn't be in a relationship with somebody less than a certain amount of love and value and responsibility if I really value myself. But I accept anything because I'm setting the price of myself low because I don't think I'm valuable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
There we go.
He says the pain is associated with giving, it cannot be perceived as loss, and the reciprocal relationship of giving and receiving will be recognized. The price will then be set high. I can't tell you how many people go to workshops that cost $2,000 or $3,000 or $1,000, and they catch the plane and they go there and they come back and tell me, they told me that my perceptions come from my interpretations. And I want to say that about a zillion times in the class. But the class is free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you pay $3,000, it's still free. If I put out there, you can come in this room regardless of your ability to pay, it's free. That's your own guilt. That makes you feel any kind of resentment about $5, which is nothing.
Same reason there's not a line outside that restaurant around the corner. That's free.
Exactly. The same cafe where they feed people according to whatever you can pay. And that's what I've noticed in the 30 years that I've taught the truth. People say they want things freely, but the average person does not value anything they can have easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
They believe that we've been programmed to pay, and that the more you pay, that's why Rolls Royce, I don't care what nobody says, there's no car in the world worth $100,000. In terms of the material it took to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But they set the value, and now people want it, right? Because it is valuable. Because we've all decided it's valuable.
Yeah, right. Mass consciousness.
Yeah, we decided. And so guess what? They get $100,000. The same thing is true. He said the same thing is true about everything. Everything in my life is only as valuable as I believe it is. So if I see, he says, so then the price will be set high because of the value of the return. So I can't be upset with anybody about anything that happens in my experience like I used to when I realize that it's just a reflection of my own value system and it has nothing to do. And if I've been asking for something that hasn't shown up, I just need to be honest with myself and say I'm afraid of it. Instead of accusing God of not giving me what I want, why don't I just admit I'm afraid of it? I'm not being denied anything. I'm afraid of it. Whatever I've been asking for that hasn't shown up in my life, I'm afraid of it. I need to stop bullshitting and tell the truth about it. I'm afraid of it. Or it would have shown up by now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't value it. Or it would have shown up by now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't value myself, so it hasn't shown up by now. But the Holy Spirit in me says, well, Earl, don't get tripping. Don't trip on that. All you got to do is start blessing them. Start asking for it for everybody. Start siding with everybody you know so that you can hear my answer and everybody you know. So you can have it now. Set the price high. Say you are valuable. And you know what I'm saying? This book is giving me all the answers I need. He says the price for getting, this is a trick, he says the price for getting is to lose sight of value. Making it inevitable that you will not value what you receive. So when you're trying to get something or you're trying to get someone, it means they have no value. And so when you get them, you don't value them. That's why it looks like sometimes in relationships, wow, somebody tried to get you, right? And when they got you, they stopped treating you like they did when they was trying to get you. Because the fact that they got you means that they don't value you. Because you don't value something you're trying to get, you value something that you're giving to. That's why we're about to get you. But when they get you, they don't want you no more. we know the Course is saying the truth. It's just our experience. But on the other hand, it's also saying if you set the price high, then it'll be worth what it is you have. So if you start to value the person that you're with, then they really will be worth it. That's why I'm a freak about it. I appreciate you, I value you, you're important to me, I love you, I appreciate you. Man, I can't tell you how many times a week I say that to people that are close to me that I talk to. Not because I'm trying to practice the truth, but because I'm trying to practice the truth and be the truth and do the truth, and it's the truth. And the more I value them, the more important they become and the more valuable they become. It's amazing to watch. Until it gets to the point that you go, I can't believe I'm so blessed to have a person like this in my life. Unless you're saying that about the things in your life, you're still trying to get something. Look at this, y'all. It says, the price for getting is to lose sight of value, right? Mm-hmm. Making it inevitable that you will not value what you receive. It's inevitable that you will not value what you receive if you try to get it. Valuing it little, you will not appreciate it, and you won't want it. If I don't value it, I don't appreciate it, and I don't want it. So anything I don't appreciate, I don't want. Anything I don't appreciate, I don't want. He says, never forget then. Here you go. Here's the repeat. He says, never forget. Notice how this remembering and never forget and remember and never forget and remember. And what do we do when we leave?
Forget.
Remember.
We forget to remember. Right? Uh-huh. And it says, never forget then that you set the value on what you receive. You set the value on what you receive. These are universal laws. It says, you set the value on what you receive. You price it by what you give. It's only as valuable as what I give. You're only as valuable as what I give to you. You are only as valuable as what I give. It is only as valuable as what I give. Notice that when you really value somebody, your first instinct is to give to them. Nobody has to make you do it. If you really value somebody, you want to give them your love, you want to give them your attention, you want to give them your respect, you want to give... Nobody has to make you give to something that you really value. When you have to go to... When you have to make yourself give, all that means is that you don't value them. But the ego says, well, feel guilty about that. You're a horrible person. And the truth says, no, just recognize how the law operates and start working the law. Don't spend all that. Don't worry about the fact that you've never done it up to this point. I told you that there was a part of you that does know the truth, and the part of you that does know the truth can reach out to the part of that person that knows the truth, and then the truth in you all can start reaching out and communicating and bypass your stupid ego altogether.
Wow.
That's what the Course is not really trying to get us to do anything, but the ego would bypass the sucker.
Yeah.
You know, there's a part of us that knows everything that this book is saying, even though the part of us sitting in the chair think we don't know it. Mm-hmm. He's saying that part of us can reach out to the part of us and each other, and through that connection we can receive the answer to everything that we need to know at this particular time in our lives. That's what it's telling us, right? But the ego wants us to entertain it by spending a lot of time with its credibility.
Is that true? I don't know. So what are you saying, true? I don't know.
So the ego is all into his credibility trip, and the Course is saying, nah, do you want to side with what I said? That's what it's asking. Do you want to side with the idea that you're valuable? Do you want to side with the idea that everybody can give you the answer? Do you want to side with the idea that it's about releasing you from fear? That's what he's saying. What do we want to side with tonight? Not whether or not what I'm saying is correct. Do you want to side with it? Even if it's not, do you want to side with the idea? Whew. Okay, now this next part is going to blow your mind. It says, to believe that it's possible to get much for little is to believe you can bargain with God.
Oh, my.
God's laws are always fair, uh-huh. And fair means what? Perfectly consistent. So something is fair is something is perfectly consistent.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? By giving, you receive. By giving, you receive. By giving, you receive. So let's change it around. By giving, you receive. So he says, by giving, you receive. By giving, you accept, right? He says, by giving, you receive. Then you say, okay, what does that mean? Well, he says, well, to receive is to accept, not to get. So receiving has nothing to do with getting. Receiving has to do with accepting.
Mm-hmm.
So by giving, you accept. By giving, you accept. By giving, you accept. Because I'm accepting what I'm giving. I'm accepting what I'm giving. I'm accepting what I'm giving.
Mm.
So by giving, you receive. But to receive is to accept, which means what? Not to get.
Not to get.
Not to get. Now, it's impossible not to have. 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 But it's possible not to know you have.
Okay.
It's impossible not to have love, but it's certainly possible for you to be unaware of the love.
Mm-hmm.
But it's impossible for you not to have the answer. It's impossible for you not to have. 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 It's just possible. It's just possible. It's just possible not to know it. The recognition of having is the willingness for giving. So you know you have it when you're willing to give it. Until you're willing to give it, you don't believe you have it. So it's no such thing as giving anything without increasing your abundance, because the mere fact that you gave it means you believe you had it. And if you believe you had it, you know you're going to have it, because that's the way it works. So I can't give what I don't have. I can't give you a cassette player that I don't have. So the mere fact that I give it to you is the proof that I believe I have it. So every time, so a person that doesn't give is obviously a person that doesn't believe that they have. And so therefore, they don't. So they don't. So then it goes on to say, it's impossible not to have, but it's possible not to know you have. The recognition of having is the willingness for giving. And only by this willingness for giving can you recognize what you have. Only by the willingness to give it can you recognize that you have it. What you give, therefore, is the value you put on what you have. What you give being the exact measure of the value you put upon it. And the value you put upon it is the measure of how much you want it. So if you want to know what you really want, it's always what you're most willing to give. That's what you really want. What you're most willing. And in this world, people are most willing to give what? Fear, anger, upset, mm-hmm. Criticism, judgment. So what does it look like the world is full of? Anger, upset, criticism, judgment. Because we're misusing the laws of God on behalf of an insane mind that doesn't know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking all the laws of abundance, flipping them, and using them for the ego, and then wondering why we go through so much pain. Because all day long I'm giving what I don't want. I'm giving you judgment. I don't want judgment. I'm giving you criticism. I don't want criticism. I'm not trusting you, but I want to be trusted. See, all day long I'm giving what I don't want. And then I'm wondering why it's increasing in my life. It's increasing in my life because that's what I'm sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I value. I'd rather distrust you than trust you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather express my anger with you than express my appreciation for you. So therefore, I'm in a world that that's what most people seem to do. And he's saying, well, the way out is to start to give what you want to receive, and you do that by starting to side with each other instead of siding against each other. And start to see each other as valuable, so that will guarantee that you'll be in each other's life. Because the minute you stop valuing me, or I stop valuing you, you know that thing is on the way out.
Yeah.
You just well just mark the days on the calendar.
Yeah.
It might be 1 year from now, it might be 1 month from now, but that thing is on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
That person you complain about that you don't appreciate, or that situation that you don't appreciate, that circumstance that you don't appreciate, I guarantee you it's on the way out. Because if you don't appreciate it, you don't want it. If you don't want it, you don't value it. And if you don't value it, it has to leave. That's the law of the universe. So when I don't value lack, when I don't value separation, when I don't value lack of appreciation, when I don't value that stuff, then that stuff will move out of my life. So, how do I do that? Even if I don't believe it, I need you to believe in me even when I don't believe in myself, side with me even when I don't side with myself, because the way that I get out of being stuck in this situation is through recognizing value and my value being recognized. Because he just said, that's how we get the answer, that's how we get the solution, is through being valued. So the most important thing I could do for myself, if I'm full of things that upset me and don't seem like they're fulfilling me, is to take my butt as quick as I can around people who want to value and appreciate me, as well as me doing them the same way, especially if I'm in despair, especially if I'm upset, especially if I feel like it's lacking my life. That's when I've got to demand that I be around those who appreciate me. And who are trying to give because they know that I'm valuable. I want to give to them because I know that they're valuable. We're not coming to each other just to get from each other and trying to get as much as we can from each other, but give the least that we can to each other. I'm going to give you as little as I can to you, but I want you to be there for me 100% all the time, doing everything for me, but I'm just going to do just a little bit. When you start to love yourself, you realize that somebody is hooking up with you to steal from you. And the Course, that's all it is. I'm coming over to rob you tonight because I'm not going to give you anything. I'm trying to see what I can get tonight, baby. Mm-hmm. And if you let me in the door, that's a sign of the little value you have in yourself. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if you will go for those who appreciate you, you know for sure that you're getting to the point that you appreciate yourself.
Yeah.
And that's where we're headed. So let's go to this last paragraph. Okay. He says, what you give is therefore the value you put on what you have. What you give being the exact measure of the value you put upon it. This is how you can apply it to anything. How do you say universal laws? You can just fill in the blank. And this in turn, that's what you do. You go through something like this and you literally fill in the blank. And this will be God's answer to you. Just make it specific. Take exactly where it says it. And you put in exactly what the situation or circumstance is, and you will hear God's answer to you. He says, you can ask of the Holy Spirit, or I'll say God. You can ask of God then only by giving to God. And you can give to God only where you recognize God. I mean, you can't give something to me if you don't recognize me, right?
Yeah.
He says, so if you recognize God or the truth in everyone, consider how much you will be asking of God.
Yeah.
And how much you will receive. You see, if I am only recognizing spirit or truth of God in one person, then I'm only asking to receive through one person. But if I go, the truth is in all of you, God is in all of you, love is in all of you, he says then, that's how you receive. You receive by giving, right? So if I recognize God in everyone, how much I will be asking of God, how much I will receive. He says, God will deny you nothing. I say it again. God will deny you nothing. God will deny you nothing. Why? Because you have denied God nothing. What do you mean I deny God nothing? I see God everywhere. So I'm not denying God anymore. I'm saying God is in you. 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 Love is in you. Truth is in you. Truth is in you. Truth is in you. He says that wherever I see God, I'm asking when I'm giving. And if I'm seeing God in everybody, look how much I'm asking for. If you see the truth in everybody, look at how much you're asking for, he's saying to us. He says, and how much you will receive. God will deny you nothing because you denied the universe nothing, and so you can share everything. This is the way and the only way to have God's answer. Because God's answer is all you can ask for, really. And it's all you could want. All I'm asking for is love. That's all I want is love. So how do I receive it? I see it in everybody. How do I do that? I separate you from your egos. How do I do that? I realize there's a part of you that doesn't know a damn thing, and a part of me that doesn't know a damn thing. It's crazy as hell, is out here trying to make it, that don't really know nothing, that feels insecure, and just hope somebody give it something before you die. Okay. And then I hope I can find one of those two people that they kind of, I perceive their value like I can cling to them until I strangle them half to death. Okay. Okay. That's the way we do it. There's not enough. Let me grab you and I'll shoot anybody else to come anywhere near you, because it ain't but a little bit and y'all going, you ain't getting none of it. Okay. It's okay. So know, so there's a part of us, he says, that doesn't know the truth. He says, but underneath that is the Holy Spirit in us, the love in us, the truth in us. And notice it says, if I side with that idea, then I'm believing, and then I'm tapping into God, and I'm tapping into God's answer. It said I needed to side with that idea. That's why I like that. I can side with that idea that you all have a cool part of y'all that y'all might not know about. Why would I not want to side with that idea? And he's just saying, just side with that idea, Earl, that the Holy Spirit is in everybody in this room. And if you do that, you'll be asking for a whole lot because you see it in everybody and think about how much you will receive. He said, this is the way and the only way to have God's answer because it's all I really want. So here is the solution. And it's so simple, it's very rarely used. Okay. Here it goes. Because I'm willing to know myself, I see you as God's son and my brother. And you can change God's son and my brother to anything you want to. I see you as love's extension, you know, and join with me. Because Core says brother just means a man joined with man. So brother has nothing to do with sex. When the Core says brother, it's saying you are a man that's joined with man. You are a man that's joined with man. So because I'm willing to know myself, I see you as God's my son, God's creation, love's creation, and my mind, and part of me. Because I will to know myself, I see you as God's son and my brother. Because I will to know myself, I see you as God. Now, could it really be that easy? Could it really be that easy? That all we have to do in order to receive everything would be silently every time we're around somebody to go, because I want to know myself, I see you as God's son and my brother. Because I want to know myself, I see you as love's creation, and join with me. That's what that means. I see you as love's creation and join me. He says, and I should see it in everybody, and that way I'm asking for it from God through everybody, and I would start to receive it through everybody. And it has nothing to do with their ego. If you look at it, if you look for it by trying to get to somebody's personality and change their personality into the personality that you want, you're missing the whole point. It's really about realizing that you're going to side with that part of that person that wants to be appreciated and accepted just like you want to be appreciated and accepted. And you're going to accept that there's a part of that person that wants it just as much as you do. I'm through. Thank you, God, for that answer. Thank you, God, for that answer. I needed that so much tonight. I needed to hear that so much tonight. Thank you for giving me somebody to practice on.
Yeah,
because I got a chance to say, I bless you. I see you as God's son and my brother. Thank you. Y'all didn't like that? Either we're going to do the course or not. You know, either we Course in Miracles students or we not Course in Miracles students. You know, and that's what I want. I want to teach Course in Miracles students because I need to learn. And it is going to be sometimes mind-boggling in its love. Because that's all it was. Yeah. It was just completely loving. It was completely loving. All it talked about was our value.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I know. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, because I will to know myself, I see you as God's son and my brother. Because I want to know myself, I see you as love's son and in God's creation. Because I want to know myself. Okay.